Right. We're on Daf Chaf Aleph today. So I'm going to go over the Gemara and Chaf on the days a little bit. So if you remember from yesterday, we learned in the Mishnah that according to the Tana Kama and according to Rabbi Gamliel, if you're in a sukkah and you're under the bed of the sukkah, then you're not yotzei in the mitzvah sukkah. But according to Tana Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says that we would... Right. Rabbi Shimon, but he relates to what Rabbi Gamliel said. So, but according to Tana Rabbi Yehuda, he says that we would sleep under the bed in the sukkah. So it's going to come out. Just to cut to the chase, the Gemara is going to say that according to the Tana Rabbi, the key is if it's an ohel, then I can't be in an ohel and under an ohel. And it was the sukkah is one ohel and the bed's another ohel. So then I can't be out to the mitzvah. So according to Tana Rabbi Yehuda, either the bed will not constitute an ohel. Or the other pshat, which we'll see, which I mentioned the other night, is according to Rabbi Yehuda, the sukkah is a dirat keva, a permanent structure, and the bed is a dirat arai because he moved from place to place. So a dirat arai can't push away a dirat keva. All right, let's just see in the Gemara. So I'll go over again from the Gemara, five lines from the bottom on Chaf Amud Beis. So, and we did this last night, but I'll go over it again. So Tanan, we learned that, so the Gemara is going to mention the Mishnah Masechet Ahalot and types that up, and then we'll connect it up later to our Mishnah. Okay, so put everything on the side that we set up for now. Let's just focus on this Mishnah. So Tanan, we learned the Mishnah Masechet Ahalot, Tanan Atam, Echad Chur Shcharu Mayim, if you have a hole that the water had, you know, dug through or created, Oshratzim, or crawling, creeping creatures created a hole, Oshachalatu malachat, or it was true, like corrosion, malachat sounds like something with salt, whatever, like the corrosive force. B'chein midbach avanim. Midbach avanim, I don't know, the arts just said like boulders that had fallen down, but I think midbach avanim sounds like a row of stones, and in the one of the picture books, that's exactly what they had. Let me get the Perish Chai out and take a look. One second. Upper base. Yeah. So I see, right. So the way the Perish Chai has it more like the Art School said, but the picture book, the Marav HaSukka, let's take a look on Chafam Beis. So Marav HaSukka, they have like a row, almost like, looks like bricks. So the top, you have one, the top right-hand picture on page 72. Okay, back in the Gemara. And similarly, like a pile of beams. And again, in the picture book, they have like the neatly piled up, but there are spaces between them. And there were spaces also with the stones as well. He says, so all of those create an ohel for tumah. So it creates an ohel for tumah. If I have exiled from mate somewhere in that ohel and something else in the ohel, so mela. Then the tumah spreads. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and here's the key line. The time Rabbi Yehuda says, "Kol ol shenu asu b'di'adam eino ol." Any ol that's not man-made is not an ol. We're two lines from the bottom on Chafam Beis. I'm going over from yesterday's Gemara. So he says that anything that man doesn't make is not an ol. And Rashi says, "B'di'adam." Bottom line, mit kavin las to ol. Not only does it have to be made by man, but man has to intend that it should be an ohel. So it's not only that I'm making it, but I intend that it should be an ohel. So meanwhile, in the cases that we just mentioned in the Mishnah, the Tana Rabbi Huda would hold that it's not an ohel. So the Gemara says, my Talmud Rabbi Huda, what's the reason for Rabbi Huda that says an ohel that's not bidei adam, it's not an ohel, the top line of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, says, Yalif ohel ohel mimishkan. He learns Gzeir Shava from ohel by Tuma and ohel by the Mishkan. He says, "Ktiv hacha zorat adam kim ba'ohel." It says in the beginning of Parsha Chukat, this is the law of someone who dies in an ohel. "Uktiv hatam ba'yifrosat ohel on Mishkan." It says in Parsha Sfakudei that Moshe Rabbeinu spread the ohel on the Mishkan. And again, the Mishkan is the lower covering, I think, of the different fabrics, and then the ohel is the one with the goat hair. So he spread it. But the thing is, the men is about the ohel on the Mishkan. Malahalan bidei adam, just like by the Mishkan, I mean in the general sense, not the specific sense used in the Pasuk, but just like by the Ohel Moed, that it's a man-made creation, afkan bidei adam. So too, when the Torah refers to an Ohel by made, it means an Ohel that man has created. So Mela, Rabbi Huda holds that those other structures that we just mentioned in the Mishnah are not man-made, or even they are man-made, but they're not intended as to create like a structure or a covering for anything. It's there, so it's not an oil in terms of tumah. That's the way the Tana of Yehuda holds. Okay, now the Gemara says for Rabbanan, what do the Chachamim hold? Oil riba. The Chachamim hold that there's a lot of oilim that are mentioned in Parsha Chukat, so that teaches me a ribui, that there are other oilim that are included, and the ones I mentioned are included as well. Okay, so everybody good so far? Everybody good so far? Okay, I'm going to move on. Okay, we're on the fifth line in Chapal Gumanalev. So the Gemara says, with Sabar Rabbi Yehuda kol oil shnos to be the damin of oil, I mean the Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds that any oil that's not constructed by man is not called an oil, or a minu. We pose a contradiction from the following Miftim Sechet Par. So Mesechet Alot we don't do in Daf Yomi, Sechet Par we don't do in Daf Yomi, but you get a taste of everything with Daf Yomi. Ruminu, and this we've had before, it says, Chatzera Yubinuyo B'Yerushalayim L'Gabi Yisela. They had courtyards built on the bedrock. Let me say this outside first, and we'll do it inside. He's going to say that that when it came to the Para Aduma, and we had this in the beginning of Mesechet Yoma, remember, so they would be Metame, the Kohen, who was preparing the Para Aduma. So he would be a Tful Yom. There was, let's say, there's different ways we learned this sugya, but one way to learn is that they would say like a dead sheretz, they'll have him cause him to touch that, and then he'll go to the mikveh, and he'll be a Tful Yom, but he's waiting for Harev Shemesh. And then they had him prepare the Para Aduma, even though he was in this residual state of Tuma. And that was Lahut Simili Banch Stukim, because the Stukim said, you can't do that. So the Chami said, well, this is the way we're doing, because this is the way the Torah Shvalpa works out. So to counteract that, that's like a leniency or sort of like the way they're behaving, but it's Alpi Halacha. So they had many other stringencies that they introduced in terms of the preparation of the Para Aduma. So they would, for example, they would have them only use like clay avanim, clay galalim, clay adama. They would only use kalim that couldn't be makabel tuma. And they would also sequester the Kohen who's preparing it the week before. And then they wouldn't permit his other Kohenim to touch him during that week. And then during the whole week, they kept sprinkling him with the ashes of the Para Aduma. In other words, they're being lenient in one sense, but they're doing stringencies in the other sense. In other words, like we're being very stringent in one way, and then another way we're being sort of lenient. So here, this is another stringency that the Chachamim did with the Para Aduma. Now the Gemara is going to explain that when it comes to the Para Aduma, they would have sort of like these young kids, you know, from the time they're born, being like this bubble, like this non-tuma bubble, so that they can bring the water for the Para Aduma. And the kids are not older than 9 years old. Once they're 9 year old, we're afraid that they'll have, you know, too much shechpat zera. So that we don't do. So it's going to say that they prepare like this bubble community for these kids, and then the kids go down, and then they draw the water for the mechatad, and then spring water like the ma'im chayim, and then when they do it, the Gemara is going to say that they would have these oxen that they would ride. And part of the proof is going to be that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the oxen considered OL on the mate. Or we'll see in a minute. Let me get into it. We'll see. Okay. We'll see how this relates. Okay. So let's see back in the Gemara. We're on Chaf Alchemin Aleph 21a. Chaf Alchemin Aleph around 8 lines down. Okay. Let's see back in the Gemara. So, Raminu. So again, we said that according to Tana Rabbi Yehuda, if it's not an OL that's a sui b'di adam, it's not a man-made OL, it's not an OL for purposes of you know, Tumantara. Ramina, we pose a contradiction to this from the following Mishnah, Masechet Para. They had courtyards built on the bedrock. In other words, we're concerned, the concern here is that there's a dead person underneath there. So if I build it on the bedrock, we feel there's nothing under the bedrock that's like, you know, God, it's solid bedrock. So he built the Chatzirot on the bedrock, and then he says, V'tachtehem chalal, and they kibber ha'tahom. Okay, if you could turn that off, it's a big help, okay? He says, underneath them, it was a space of a tefach. Like, in other words, even though we're 99% certain that there's nothing there, but in the remote, remote event, there is something there, we're going to lift up the chatzer, a tefach, so that'll be chotzeitz b'fnei atuma. So we definitely got covered. Now, the way I see it, and the way it sounded like from what I saw, is that that they're building it on the bedrock, and then above the bedrock, they have like this, like these on stilts or whatever, But I must say, let me see your picture. Top right. Yeah, that works well. Okay, so but the Perush Chai had a different sort of a picture, but I think your picture is better. Okay, let's take a look at that in the Gemara. But they kever atom. Kever hatahom is when somebody's buried in a place we don't know he's buried there. That's kever hatahom. Tahom means like the depths you can't see, you don't know what's doing in the depths. It means unknowable. Umavin Nashim Ubarot, and then we bring pregnant women, Yoldo Sham, and then they give birth there in this chatzer, it's like the bubble community. Umagalo Beneim Sham, and they raise their kids there. Unfortunately, it sounds like we have that with COVID practically, but they raise their kids in this chatzer, Laparam. Umavim Shvarim, then eventually, when the kids get a little bit older and they're ready for Paraduma, they bring oxen over. On top of the oxen were doors, the tinokot yoshvin al gabehen, and the children would sit on top of the doors, which are on top of the oxen. Now, the idea of the door is, again, they're going to bring the kids outside of the bubble community, because now they have to bring them down to the gihon, which is a spring to get the water. So up till now, they're raised like in a quarantine, like in the no tuma. It's like, and now we're bringing them out of the community to get the mechata, to get the mayim chayim, I should say, that they're going to add together with the ashes of the paraduma. So when they're in transit, the kids are on top of these animals and they're sitting on top of the door, so the door will create an ohel. So if luyat sur, there's some dead body underneath them, so the space in between will hermetically seal them off. It'll be chotzeis b'fnei atuma. That space will create an ohel. If there's a space above the mate, And then that blocks it off. So let's see back in the Gemara. He says, and they're holding cups, stone cups again. That's not a kabel tuma. That's what they're going to use to get the water. They get to the shiloach, which is the mayan, the spring that they want to get the water from. Now here they're risking it. At this point, they get off according to this Tana. They get off the shvarim, they go into the spring to get the water. Now, it's possible there could be some dead body theoretically underneath the spring, but that's the risk we have to take, because this Tana holds that they can't lower a rope and pull up the water. They got to bring up the water themselves. So you got to do it. And then they'd go back and then they sit where they were before. But Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says they wouldn't even risk that. They would stay on the shore, or the shvarim, and then lower the cups with the rope, and there's a machlok whether they could do it or not. But the Tana Rabbi Yossi holds they could do it, and they would do that. So we're not where we are yet. We want to get the Tana Rabbi Huda, and here we are. The Tanya, we learn in the Brisa, that was the Mishnah in Masechet Para. The Tanya, now we learn in the Brisa, Rabbi Huda Omer, the Tana Rabbi Huda says, Lo ayim avim dlatot el shvarim. So the Tana Rabbi Huda says they didn't bring doors, skip the thing with the doors. They would just ride the shvarim, ride the oxen. Now the Gemara will discuss what's wrong with having the doors, but the key is, for now, Tan Rabbi Yehuda says they would ride the oxen. So the oxen would themselves constitute an ohel. Now, it's a different use of an ohel. Before, we're talking about an ohel like to spread the tumah. Now we're talking about an ohel that's going to block the tumah from going up, but it's the same idea. I mean, it's the same idea of using an ohel in relation to tumah and tara. So he says, El Shvarim, Shvash Shvarim, the ocean of be the Adamhu. And ashore is an OL that's not made by man, it's just an animal. So that's the kasha. So let me just repeat again, then we'll do some Rashi, then we'll take some questions, okay? So we learned yesterday, and again we went over it today, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds in the Mishnah Masechet Ahalot that a OL, a Subi de Adam, is not an OL, that a man made OL, excuse me, an OL is not a Subi de Adam, that an OL is not made by man is not considered an OL. It has to be made by man. Otherwise, no one to be considered an ohel for purposes of Tumah and Tara. And then we went through this whole Mishnah in Masechet Para, where it came out that the kids are riding Shvarim according to the Tana Rabbi Huda, and the shore is going to block off the Tumah, and the shore is constituting ohel, but the shore is not Asu Bidei Adam. That's the Sira between the Mishnah of Masechet Avot and the Mishnah in Masechet Para. Let me just do one Rashi, and then I'll pause, okay? Let's do the fourth narrow line in Rashi on the top. So because the Mishnah says in Masech HaParah they would be Metameh, the Kohen who would burn the Parah Duma, and this we had in the beginning of Masech HaYom, and I went over a week before, and then they would immediately tabel him. So he would be touched Tuma, like one more shot is, he would touch, let's say, a dead Sheretz. Then he goes to the mikveh right away, and now he has to wait till nightfall till he's totally Tahor. He says, but this Kohen is going to prepare the paraduma right now before Harib Shemesh, Boharib Shemesh. And why would they do that? Lot seemingly bound should stuke him in order to be in, you know, like disagree with the stukim, the Sadducees. She only move Shemesh Haitana. I say the stukim say, no, the coin has to be totally tahor. But came into Tful Yom Kasher Bapara. So since the Tful Yom is Kasher for Para, where the Chamim would stand it, and they did it with the Tful Yom. They made many different stringencies. So people wouldn't be like, you know, like not careful with the deen of the paraduma. That they said that all the kalim that are used have to be clay galalim, would be dung kalim, stone kalim, or things from earth, shame, kablam, tuma. That's one. The Kohen who's going to burn the Parah Aduma, they said he has to sequester for a week ahead of time. And the other Kohanim can't come into contact with him for that week. And then we sprinkle him with the ashes of the Parah Aduma each day. And they also established that the water is going to be filled by these kids who have been living in the bubble, And they're going to fill the water for the Mechatat. And because of a stringency, they were talking that they can't have any tuma connected with them. Septa says that they would do this up until age 7 or 8, not older than 8. Shilra ukeri. Want to make sure they don't have any carry, so then they age out at age 8. Okay? All right. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? To retire its man. Right? What? Yeah, but let's say you want to go to the base of Mikdash. So you need the power of Duma. You want to bring a korban, you need the power of Duma. You know, if you want to be in a state of Tara, you need the power of Duma. So that's a. Right? Okay. So in the Mishnah Masechet Ahalot, where it talks about, we write, so he said, in order to be constituted an ohel for over the mace, it's got to be man-made ohel. That's the Mishnah Masechet Ahalot. The Mishnah Masechet Para says, now here we need an ohel to be mafsik in the tuma. But he says, in order to be, but here he says that the shore, the oxen, which is not man-made, constitutes an ohel. That's the contradiction. Okay. Any other questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Okay. All right, I'm going to move on. Okay, let's see further the Gemara. Now, okay, so we're 8 lines from the bottom on Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. Okay, so Ki'ata Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Israel, Amar Blazar, he said the name of Rav Blazar, which is Rav Blazar ben Pedat. There's two Rav Blazars, one Rav Blazar is a Tana, one's a Bryce and Amara, so the Amara is Rav Blazar ben Pedat. So Amar Blazar, Motor Behuda, Kimlo Egro, that the Tana Rav Yehuda agrees. If the space, if the size of the ohel is the size of an egg rope is a fist, but it doesn't mean like a regular fist. So Rashi explains that it's the egg rope of Ben Avatiach. It's a strange name. Ben Avatiach is like a melon. That's his name, though. Ben Avatiach had a very large fist, and his fist was like the size of a person's head. So if the space is the size of a head, then Rabbi Yehuda agrees that even if it's not Bidei Adam, it constitutes an ohel. Okay? Right. So it means like this. So when he said in the Mishnah Masechet Ahalot that they don't constitute an ohel, those are very small, they're smaller than an egg rope. So he says that's not an ohel. But when it's larger than an egg rope, the egg rope means like the size of a head. So then he says, even if it's not Bidei Adam, it's an ohel. So then we have it. So Tani Namihachi, we learn a Braisa that supports this, and the Braisa reads as follows. That even though the time Rabbi Yehuda had a machloket about these other things, you know, with the chor that was made by the Mayim and the Shratzim who made a hole, and things like that. There was a machloket, but the Tana Rebbe Yehuda agrees, b'shkifin, if a stone is dislodged, or menikike slime, things are made a hole in the stones. Now, in here you have a nice picture in the picture book. Here's a picture. So this is on the lower picture, lower on the right-hand corner on page 72. So he's got shkifin where there was a stone, the boulder, and it was dislodged. And the kikim, there was a hole made in the stone. Anyway, so it's large, a big hole. That's the basic idea. So he says, that in Greek, he agrees it's an ohel. So now the Gemara says, okay, so now we think we've resolved everything. So the Gemara asks, but the Tana Rebbe Yehuda said that they don't ride on a door. And remember, the Tana Kama said in the Mishnah Masechet Para that they have the shvarim, the doors are placed on top of the shvarim, and the kids on top of the doors. The Tana Rebbe Yehuda says, we're not using doors. So the Gemara says, so a delet would be a very large space underneath it. So we think that the Tana Rebbe Yehuda holds that the delet would not constitute an ohel, but the delet, the space underneath the delet comprises many egrofim. So why would that not constitute an ohel? So Amar Abaye, so Abaye says it doesn't mean they couldn't bring latot. He's saying you don't need to do a delet. In other words, if you have the shor by itself, that's enough. You want to bring a delet, it's fine. It's just showing. But it just means that he said you don't need the delet. That's one answer. But in Achinami, to bring a delet is good. Rava Amar, lo yivin latot kol ikar. Rava says, no, the Tana Rebbe Yehuda is saying, I don't want doors. Why? Because if you put the door there, the child, he feels like a little too comfy, like he's in his like apartment building, and he feels comfortable. We're concerned if I have them ride these doorways, they feel nice and comfy, get nothing to worry about. They'll stick out an arm, stick out a leg, whatever, and maybe it'll be over kever hatom. In other words, there'll be tumah there. So I don't want, not that the delet is not an ohel, it is an ohel. But I don't want them to feel like so secure. So let them ride the shore, and then they'll be like a little, you know, fartzitert, and then they'll keep the limbs themselves, and then that'll work out better. Okay? Let me just do a few more lines, and we'll pause. On the top line of Kafal Beis, 21b, the top line. So Tanya Kavati the Rava. We learn a brisa that supports Rava's Hezber. The brisa says, Rabbi Huda Omer, the Tana Rabbi Huda says, Lo im means la tot polikar. They wouldn't bring doors at all. Because the child feels comfortable, which is exactly what Rava said. Because maybe he'll stick out his head or one of his avarim, one of his limbs. We bring the Egyptian oxen. They have big bellies. And the tinokot, they sit on their backs of these shvarim. And then they have the stone cups in their hands. He gave the shiloach. They get to the shiloach. Yardu malum. They went down. They filled up the cups. The alubia shulahin al gabayin. And then they sat on top of it. Okay. So again, so let's just summarize what we did so far, and then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. So the basic idea we're saying, focusing on the Tana Rebbe Yehuda, we still have to touch it up with our Mishnah, but according to the Tana Rebbe Yehuda, it comes out that if the oel is larger than an egrof of ben avatiyah, which is the size of a head. So if the space is larger than a head, so then he holds, if even if it's a sui, even if it's not a sui b'diadam, it's an ohel. The only time he's mechulak with the chachamim is on a very small ohel, and then he holds that it has to be b'diadam, the chachamim hold not this way. And then the shvarim we explain with the doors and the holes are. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far?
So one holds of the Gezeirah Shava from Mishkan.
Right.
But there's a machlokas on whether that's a real Gezeirah Shava.
We've had this before. In other words, so the Chachamim are saying that there's a special ribui which would override anything that you would possibly learn from this Gezeirah Shava. So the ribui is teaching me that any sort of OL is an OL. Yeah, I don't know. All right. I'm going on. All right, let's see further in the Gemara. Now, all right, now we have to tie this back to our sugya with sukkah. Okay, so now the Gemara says we're on line 8 on Chaf Aleph Beis, 21b, line 8. Bere mita v'yishba kamei grofim. Now, let's go back to our mita. So now, in our Mishnah, if you remember, we went over this at the beginning of today's daf, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says that a person could be in a sukkah underneath a bed and still be yotzei in the mitzvah sukkah. So the Gemara thinks right now that Tana Rabbi Yehuda does not, ascribe an ohel to the underneath of a bed. In other words, the bed does not constitute an ohel. That's the way the Gemara thinks it's going. In other words, the Chamim say it's an ohel in the sukkah, and the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says not an ohel in the sukkah. So the Gemara, and therefore I'm yotzei. So the Gemara says, "Vere mit v'yish kama grofim," but a mita has a space of a number of heads. There's a lot of space there. Uchnan Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no gimayinu, shenu shenim tachan amita, b'fnei azkenim. He says, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda said, we would sleep under the beds in the presence of the azkenim. So the question is, why is the underside of the bed not constitute an ohel? Not constitute an ohel. So the Gemara says, shani mita, holu gaba asuya. So the Gemara says, a mita is in a different category. A mita is not constructed for the purpose of forming an ohel underneath it. A mita is made to support somebody who's lying on top of the mita. In other words, that's the purpose. When you place a mita there, you build a mita, you intend that somebody's going to lie on top of the mita. You don't intend that somebody's going to get shelter underneath the mita. So if that's being the case, so therefore we think that he does not consider it to be an ohel. So the Gemara says, shvarim nami l'gaban asuyim, but a shore, it means that it doesn't mean like you're creating the shore, but the usage of the shore is to ride on top of the shore. That's the general usage of a shore. You're riding on top of the shore, and yet there, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda considers it to be an ohel. So we're still not out of the woods yet. So ki ata Rabin, when Rabin came from Eretz Yisrael, Amr Blazar, it's interesting, I mentioned before. Wait, one second. One second, Rabbi Blazar, yeah. But one second, yeah. So usually you have Rabbi Dimi and Rabin come from Eretz Yisrael and report things in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Here we have him reporting the name of Blazar. So let's see back in the Gemara. So, Kiyata Rabin Amr Blazar, Shani Shvarim, Hul Meginim, Al Roim Becham Neacham, Becham Neagshamim. So, Rabbi Blazar says that Shvarim, oxen are a little different. In other words, you're right, the Shvarim are the primary usage of the shore is to place things on top, on the back of the shore, but it does have an ancillary usage that the shepherds get shelter underneath the shore from the sun and from the rain. I guess you get a big shore and you're out in the fields and you take whatever shelter you can. And let's look at Rashi, the fourth wide line. Ala roim shemachnisim rashayim tachet kreisam. They stick their heads underneath the belly of the shore. That's what Rashi says. So he says, so we think that that's the difference between a shore and a bed. So the Gemara says, yihachi mitanami hol magina al min alim esantalim shetachtea. But if that's the case, but a bed is also, even though the primary usage for the bed is to lie on the bed, but the bed does have a secondary usage. You place your shoes and sandals underneath the bed. And he mentions about the shoes and sandals. If you look at Rashi, the fourth wide line upstairs of Rashi, Bahi nakat galimita milimisan galim, domina babab batra, ezumita shal tamine chakamim. The Gemara says in Baba Batra, what's the bed of tamine chakamim? Well, she'in taktel minalim shabala bayit. So here Rashi reverses apparently what the Gemara has, at least that's where the Arsho had it, that the only thing that's underneath the bed of a Talmid Chacham are, we have minalim in the summer. It should be sandalim in the summer. In other words, in the summer they have their sandalim, their sandals in. And then Rashi says, sandalim b'borag shamim, but it should be minalim b'borag shamim. Shonim sham, shubal nishcha b'lishan, chaleitz minalav, v'nonam tacham itatoi, placed under the bed. But to have other things stored under the bed is like disparaging for the Talmud Chacham. Shemar gil b'nei abayit l'sham, and it means like, I don't know, like they'd be looking there. No, he's not getting the shadim, but somehow like it's like he needs his privacy from the other members of the household, and so it's not kedai. So he says back in the Gemara. So again, so we're still trying to figure out how it is that the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says in our Mishnah that you could sleep underneath the bed, and we think that the bed is not an ohel, and that's why he permits you to sleep there. And then yet, but how do we distinguish between the bed and the shore, they're both primary usages for what's on top. They both have a secondary usage for what's underneath. So Elam Rava, rather Rava says, Shani Shvarim, Bovasim Lahagin al B'nei Me'ayim Shlehen. That a shore means like the back, the rib cage, the whole part of the shore is made to protect on his B'nei Me'ayim, would be intestines, his guts. So it means it's not a secondary purpose, it's a primary purpose for what's underneath it. Shinemar, Orbisar Tabi Shani, Vasov Gidim Tsochani. Now this pasuk in Eov, in the book of Job, is talking about a human, but we're gonna also apply it to the animal. It says, Urubasar Tabi Shani, you dress me with skin and flesh, Uva Atsamot Bagidim Tsochani, Tschach. You cover me with Atsamon Gidim. So if it's true by a man, it's certainly true by the animal. Now let's go slowly with this. So according to this, we're saying that the bed is not an ohel, but the shore is an ohel. That's what we're saying. Bed is not an ohel because the primary usage of the bed is lie on the bed. The shore is an ohel, as the pasuk says, because the back of the shore guards. You know, it's what does he say? It guards the bnei me'ayim, and it says ubat samot begidim to sochecheni, with bones and sinews to sochecheni. You provide schach for me. So that's the first answer. So the first answer is the bed is not an ohel. Now, let me do the second answer, then we'll talk. Or else I could say, So in Achinami, the bed is an ohel. So it's different than we said before. The bed is an ohel. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, the sukkah is a dira's keva, permanent dira. Remember, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says you can build it more than 20 amot high. And he holds it's a dira keva. And but the bed is a dirat arai. Rashi learns a dirat arai because he moved the bed around. It's a dirat arai. The sukkah ol keva, the ati ol arai and vatel ol keva means as between the ol keva, which is the roof of the sukkah, and the ol arai, the ol keva wins out over the ol arai. So the Gemara says it's a nice pshat. But Reb Shimon to Amar Nami sukkah dirat keva ba'inan. So if you remember, the Gemara in Dav Zayin listed a whole five chachamim I think that held, five or six that held. What is Rashi saying? So he had the Rebbe. Let's look at the Rashi. Rebbe Shimon to Amar Nami Sukkah Keva Debaya Arba Defanot. He says you need four Defanot according to Tan Rebbe Shimon. Ramina Parakama Rabbi Yehuda Rebbe Shimon Rebbe Gamliel Rebbe Lezer Rebbe Achayim. So five Tanayim hold Kulus Firu Sukkah Diret Keva Ba'inan. They all hold that a Sukkah is Diret Keva. You remember when we did the Sugya, I said that it doesn't mean that they're the same shita, but they hold dira keva vis-a-vis their bar plukta. He says, "V'kamar nitin l'pidar kein l'manu she'yishen tapamita lo yatzai dei chavato." So Reb Shimon, back in the Gemara, Reb Shimon holds sukkah's dira keva, but and he also holds though in the Mishnah he holds that you can't lie underneath the sukkah, underneath the bed. So again, so the Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds that a sukkah is a dira keva. But he holds that the bed is a dirat arai. So therefore, I could lie underneath the bed. But the Tana Reb Shimon holds I can't lie under the bed. And the Tana Reb Shimon also holds that the sukkah is a dirat keva. So the Gemara says, "V'ha Reb Shimon da Amar Nami sukkah dirat keva ba'inan, va'ati ol arai va'ata ol keva." So apparently, he holds that the ol arai of the bed trumps the old keva of the sukkah. So the Gemara says, and some have in or not, but the Barashah tells it out. At this point, there's a dispute between Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda. Mar Savar Ati Ol Arai Mvatel Ol Keva. Reb Shimon holds you right, and Ol Arai is going to like push away the old Keva, and you're in trouble. Mar Savar Lo Ati Ol Arai Mvatel Ol Keva, and Reb Yehuda holds that it won't work that way. All right. Now let me pause for a minute or two. First, are there any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Very quiet group here tonight.
Can you summarize?
What? Summarize?
Can you summarize?
Okay, we're going to summarize. Okay, so the summary is in the Mishnah, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says that you can sleep underneath the bed in the Mishnah. And so there's only one of two pshatim. So either the Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds that the bed does not constitute an ohel, so it's not a problem sleeping under the bed. It doesn't constitute an ohel because the bed is made to support what's on top of it, not to provide shelter for what's underneath it. Or else he holds, no, the bed is an ohel, but the sukkah is a diras keva, and the ohel is a diras arai, and the bed is a diras arai. So the diras arai, or the bed is, what does the Gemara say, an ohel keva, an ohel arai. So the sukkah is an ohel keva, and the bed is an ohel arai. So the Ohel Keva will trump the Ohel Arai. That's the way we have so far. All right, now, there's an issue that comes up about whether you're allowed to sleep in a bunk bed in a sukkah. Let's think this through for a second. Let's say a common question here in Great Neck. Anyway, you have a bunk bed in the sukkah, and the way he here in the Morot Daf Yomi, he says, you know, everybody wants to be in the sukkah, but you try to maximize your space, so you bring a bunk bed in there. So now if I'm a child or an adult, but I assume it's a child more, like if he's sleeping in the bunk bed, there's somebody that's on top of him. So let's see how we'll handle this. So one issue is that I'll have the bed on top of me, but there's also a person on top of me, which will also be a potential issue, as we will see shortly. So the Mishnah, we learned that if you sleep underneath the bed, you're not yotzei. Now one issue is if the mita is less than 10 tefachim, that's not considered an ohel. So we'll see how this will work and how we measure the 10 tefachim, but that will be one sadkula. In other words, let's say 10 tefachim will be 40 inches. Let's say the upper bed is less than 40 inches above the lower bed. So that would be one sadkula to permit a bunk bed, sleeping in a bunk bed in a sukkah. But he quotes here now from Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger in his Sefer Ruch Lener. He says that there's a different problem we got with this bunk bed. Besides the bed, I have a person there. Now, a person, remember we said, and the Gemara said, by the shore, why is the shore an ohel? It says the Pasuk, the Gemara quoted the Pasuk, or Basar Tal Bisheni, Uba'atzmo Begidim Sochecheni. Atzmod Sochecheni. So that Pasuk is talking about a human, and then we're applying it to the shore. So if I actually have a human on top of me, I have a problem, a bigger problem than the bed. I have a human that's on top of me. So the human should be an OL. That's what we said in the Gemara. That's a problem. So, yeah, but no. But that's what the Gemara said, that the shore is also not man-made. The shore is an OL based on the Pasuk. And so here's here as well. Okay, so let's take a look. So from here, Lachor, we should conclude that, like, we got problems with this person.
Not for other people.
Yeah.
The skin on my body is not for you.
It
protects me.
It could be, but the issue is that the Gemara refers to it as a type of scha. That's in the Pasuk. And that's the issue. But anyway, so he says here, so the Aruch Lanier holds, there is no distinction from them. He, the Aruch Lanier, the Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger, he holds that a behemoth and a adam and sukkah are tashav hefsek mo ohel. That whether it's an animal or a human, and if on the upper bunk there's somebody sleeping there, the one who sleeps in the lower one is not yotzei. So his chiddush he concludes with lo ra'it the poskim shezkira mizeh. The Yaakov Etlinger says, I haven't seen the poskim mention this, but logically I think that this should be the case. But a lot of poskim are called leganis, and Rav Shmuel Bosner in the Shevet Alevi, and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and Rav Chaim Kanievsky were asked about this, and they all ruled that you could have a bunk bed even if there's somebody in the upper bunk of the bunk bed and be yotzei. You could, or we'll see in a minute. Now, but there's not a problem with having a human there. We have to just see if there's an OL with the bed. We'll get to it. Now, Rav Shmuel Bosner explains that only behema is considered old bichotzei between what's above and what's below her. And he says that even though the pasuk refers to a man, anyway, that's the way he says. Now, at the end, he proves that about Yashin Tachanamit, the Gemara explains that we'd have to be talking about a bed that's less than 10 tefachim, but it doesn't mention that the mita is reka mi'adam. Everyone tries to bring a proof, like the Gemara is only madgish. Are there 10 tefachim? Are there more than 10 tefachim or less than 10 tefachim? The Gemara never gets into discussion, is the bed occupied? And in addition to which, he thinks that Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger didn't pass in this halach l'maisa because he doesn't bring this chiddush in his sefer Bikur Yaakov. So Bikur Yaakov is a halachic sefer on Sukkot. He only brought it in a Aruch Lanair. So he thinks that even Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger, you know, wasn't Tophis as halach l'maisa. All right, so much for the
view.
Wait, let me finish this number question, okay?
No, on that piece, but go ahead.
All right, okay. Now, All right, so it comes out that the bunk bed should be kosher, but the upper bed can't be higher than 10 tefachim, which sounds like 80 centimeters, the chumrah. Well, that's the issue. So where do we measure the 10 tefachim? From the floor or from the lower bed? If it's a measurement from the floor, then the bunk beds are going to be out of the picture because the standard bunk beds are a lot higher than that. So some are choshish for that, are machmir to measure from the floor, in which case bunk beds would be out of the deal anyway. But with Shmuel Bosner, as it's all, mentions that you measure from the lower bed, and so that would be the cooler. So again, so the two issues we spoke about with bunk beds are, one is you're having somebody above me. According to Rabbi Yaakov Mettlinger, that would be a chatzitza, but most poskim disagree with him, and even Rabbi Yaakov Mettlinger doesn't bring that in his sefer, his halachic sefer, Bikur Yaakov. And then the other issue is, though, do I have an ohel on top of me? So I have to have if I have a distance of 10 tefachim, I'm losing it. If I have a distance of 10 tefachim, I'm creating an ohel, right? So it's got to be less than 10 tefachim, right. So if it's less, it has to be less than 10 tefachim, but 10 tefachim, I'm going to measure from the surface of the lower bed to the upper bed. Well, then we got a problem. Okay, all right. Any questions? Yeah. What's that?
I don't have a yarmulke. I want to make a bracha. I can't go and put
Correct.
My hand on.
Correct.
Why can't I use this pasuk? This is skin. This is covering. I'm under a skin covering of my hand.
Yeah. So, but I mean, the covering is mean like it's creating a schach for something else. In other words, like saying that I'm schach for my body. In other words, like covering the, you know, I mean, they say it's like shechina l'malam roshi. So you realize something's above you, and so the poskim say, if I take my own body, like it doesn't do anything to me. You know what I mean? But I don't know about this pasuk. In other words, the pasuk is just saying that a person or the animal is himself constitutes an ohel. But all right, that's the best I have with that. All right, let's see further in the Gemara. Now, all right, let's go through it, and then we'll wrap this up. Now, that's the two dots. So Amar Bishin and Masad Tavi of those. Initially, we said that the Tanur Bishin was Rishim Bar Yochai, said there was an incident with Tavi, the Eved Kanani of Rabbi Gamliel, who slept underneath the sukkah in the sukkah, even though he's an Eved Kanani. So Tani Amar Bishin, Misichato, so in the Braisa, Amar Bishin, Misichato, Rabbi Gamliel, that means from the casual conversation of Rabbi Gamliel, Lamanu Shnei Dvorim. We learned two things. Lamanu Shavidim Turim in a sukkah. We learned that Avadim are Purim from the sukkah. Lamanu Shishin Tachamit Lo Yisai Dei Plateau. And the person who sits under the sukkah does not fulfill his obligation. Right, under the bed, right. So let's see back on the Gemara. The Lema, so the Gemara says, now that's the end of the Braisa. So the Gemara says, the Lema means Barab Shal Rabbi Gamliel. Why did Rabbi Shimon say Misichato? From his casual conversation. Why do you say from his words we learn? Why does he say misichato? So the Gemara says, Milta agavoracha kamash malan, that Rav Shimon was teaching me a halacha along the way. He says, ki hadim aravacha bar adav, amila amaravacha bar adav, amarav hamnuna, amarav, minayin shafiu sicha tamid ha-cham sricha limud. That even the casual conversation of tamid ha-cham, you can learn from it. So even the conversation they're just having, And they discuss, you know, something which isn't like directly part of the shiur, you can learn from their casual conversation. Shenemar b'alei lo yibol. This is a pasuk in Tehillim. It says like the vayyake eichel tul pali ma'im asher p'yo yitem yitel b'alei lo yibol v'bo asher yasi asliyas. So he says that like means tamid chacham will be like this tree that's, you know, with strong roots. And it says b'alei lo yibol, its leaves won't wilt. So it's saying like with the Talmud Chacham, he's like filled with Torah, but he's got leaves. So Rashi learns with the leaves, the leaves devar kalshuba. The least thing in him is also like something chashuv to learn from. There's a sefer, I think it's on the Chazon Ish, and the name of the sefer is Ve'alei Lo Yibol. You know, it's like a biography. I think it's the Chazon Ish, Ve'alei Lo Yibol, and that's where he gets it from. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? All right, let's keep moving. Okay, the next Mishnah. Everybody with me? Okay, Shai, you still with us here? Okay, let's look at the next Mishnah. Manitin, Asomek Sukkah Toba Karimita. Now, here we need picture books out. So I'm going to make my sukkah using the bedpost. And here you have a nice picture, or sort of picture on the lower left. I have a question on that picture because it doesn't seem to show a third wall there, although you can say like the side post will be the third wall. But and then the picture, though, in the Perish Chai is, where's the picture in Perish Chai? Yeah, so the Perish Chai has, I think, a nicer picture. You have a Perish Chai there? You have one or not? Oh, you have there. Okay, he's on the Perish Chai, but in the Perish Chai, if you look on page 69, I think he's got a nice picture. And here, okay, here you see Perish Chai picture shows like a bed, you know, covered by schach. You see it? That's the bed with the schach. Okay, so let's see back in the Gemara. So, Hasomech Sukkoto B'Karimita, a person, he you know, uses the Karimita for his sukkah, Sheira, that's Kasher. The Tana Rabbi Yehuda says, if it's not a freestanding frame, it's psula. In other words, I don't like the sukkah that you're using the bedpost for the sukkah. You have to have a separate, you know, frame for it. We'll see in a minute, and the Gemara is going to explain. So the Gemara says, my Tana Rabbi Yehuda, what's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda? Why does Rabbi Yehuda say, I can't use the bedpost for my sukkah? I have to create like a different frame for the sukkah. So, please, about Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Abba Bar Mamo. Says machloket between Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Abba Bar Mamo. Chadamar mishein la keva. One holds that it's not keva. It's not keva. Let's look at Rashi. She says shematatela midei mita. In other words, it's like moved around by the mita. The mita you move from place to place. It's like, and according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, I need a permanent sukkah, a dirat keva. So it's too fly by night, according to one opinion. The chadamar mishma midabed bar makabel tuma. But the second opinion, this is the one which we really have to really make a note, there's a lot of lemais that will come up, that the bed itself is a keli. The bed is a davar shem kabel tuma. So if I put the schach on the frame of the bed, the schach is lying on something which is mekabel tuma. And we'll see, let's look at Rashi. Shemidach uleish ba'apel pishu l'man apsul al schach, even though we only look at the schach and this is the frame, hold the ikarosh schach, Elu mamidim habi ki ilu sikeh v'doram kabel tuma. He says that it is if I was masachek with davar tuma because it's supported by it. All right, we'll see in a minute. So let's see back in the Gemara. So my benai, four lines above where it gets wide. My benai, what's enough meaning between these two reasons? So kagon shnat shvudim shel barzel. Let's say he put four iron spikes in the ground and creates a frame. The sikeh chaliyem. Lamandamar, the Pishin Lakeva, Reish Lakeva. Queen says it's now permanence. So now I have permanence. Now I have problems. The spikes are there. They're not going anywhere. I'm fine. Lamandamar, Nishma, Midabdvar, Makabal Tuma. But according to opinion, says, I'm going to Lashach be resting on something which is Makabal Tuma. Yeah. Haray, Mamidabdvar, Makabal Tuma. That's bad news, according to that Svara. That's referred in the Gemara, the first boy lying downstairs. Amar Abaye, Loshanu El Samach, Abal Sike Chagabi Amita Kshera. That's only If I you know, I'm using like the frame of the bed, but sikai chal gabi amita, and I think we have a picture here. Where's the picture? Oh, 73, top left. Okay, good. Yeah. So you see, you have the picture book, 73, top left. So there I have a separate frame over the bed of al sikai chal gabi amita ksheva. My timer, lamandamar shpin la keva reish la keva. So according to one who says, it's not permanent, but it is permanent. It's not a problem. Here I'm not mamid, but davar makabel tuma. Okay, now, so the basic idea here, the most important takeaway from this is that you can't put the schach on a davar that's makabel tuma. Let's hear from our dot digest, and then we'll talk. Rabbi Yehuda maintains that if one puts schach of a sukkah on the frame of the bed, the sukkah is pasul. One explanation given by the Gemara is that the bed is frame is makabel tuma, susceptible to tuma, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that schach may not be supported by davar makabel tuma, an item susceptible to tuma. Rashi explains supporting schach with davar makabel tuma is tantamount to using the davar makabel tuma as the schach itself, as we had before in daf yud beis, schach may not be made from davar makabel tuma. The Rush remarks that by the same token, it should be forbidden to support schach with something that's not gidulo min ha'aretz, doesn't grow from the ground, because gidulo min ha'aretz is also a required condition for schach. He notes, however, this does not seem to be the halacha, but it's very common to use stone walls for one sukkah and lay the schach directly on top of the stone wall. So why is the Gemara only concerned with davar ha'makabel tuma? Why is it concerned that it should be, you know, davar shegidulo min ha'aretz? If if whatever supports the schach is going to get the same dinim as schach, so then it should be not a davar shel kabel tumah, right? But it should be davar shel kibul minaretz. So the Ran, in defense of this comment, but the Rosh remarks, nobody is careful with that second prong. So the Ran, in defense of this common practice, explains that the prohibition against supporting schach with a substance that is not about schach is due to rabbinic concern that one might come to use that substance as schach. In other words, the Ran says, we're afraid, this is like Rashi just said, it's like schach because I'm supporting it. The Ran is saying, I may come to use that material for the schach. He says, the sages apply this Easter only to items which there's a likelihood of such a mistake. Sages do not forbid supporting schach on a stone wall because they do not consider it likely that one might come to cover a sukkah with stones. Okay, so that's the way the Ran takes it. Now, alternatively, the Sfas Emes explains that Rabbi Yehuda did not forbid using walls of a sukkah that are makabel tuma support schach. The sages were concerned that one might come to use the schach supports for schach only when one uses separate schach supports instead of the walls. In other words, something that's supporting it other than the walls. In such a case, since the sole purpose of the supports is to hold the schach, there's a concern that one may confuse the schach support with the schach itself and come to use an invalid substance as a schach. So if it's the wall itself, not worry. But if it's something that's supporting the schach, that worries me. This concern does not apply to the walls of the sukkah, because they are not only functioning as support for the schach, i.e. they serve as the walls of the sukkah. Sfas Emes explains that Rabbi Yehuda is not referring to a sukkah in which the bed frame serves as its walls, for in such a case, the permitted lay schach on the bed frame. Rabbi Yehuda is referring to a sukkah that has its own walls, and he forbids using a bed frame or other invalid substance as a separate support for the schach. It's a little bit more complicated on the scenario of the setup, but you get the idea. Now, many authorities do not rule in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda on this matter, and they permit using davar makabel tuma as support for schach. The Magen Avraham, however, writes that it is preferable to conduct oneself stringently and refrain from supporting schach with davar makabel tuma. For example, placing schach directly on metal poles, since several Rishonim do rule in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda. The Ramah writes that one should not place a ladder or bench, which are utensils that are makabel tuma, on top of the schach to secure it from blowing it away. In other words, even I'm not using the ladder for schach. I just don't want the schach to blow away. I shouldn't do that because this too is considered as schach as being supported by davar makabel tuma. So supporting it could be supporting it from gravity. But if I'm doing it, anything that's helping the schach is supporting the schach. So if it's preventing the schach from blowing away, that's also viewed as supporting the schach. And I got to avoid davar shel makabel tuma. So we had a couple of dinim here. We learned in the last couple of days. We had how we can't have a split in the air going from one end to the other end. We learned about that. And we learned about I can't support schach with davar makabel tuma, and then we had also about the women afhena yubo toanes. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody good? Okay, I think that's it for tonight. Let me end the recording.
Have you figured out how?
Let me end the recording. Let me end the recording. Then we'll talk. 1 second, my friend. End the recording.